I had no idea my grandfather's fishing boat was so old. Guess it made sense, though, since it was old when I was a boy in the 70s, and my grandfather died in 1976. I happened to come across some paperwork that listed the make and model. 1956 Lone Star, manufactured in Grand Prairie, Texas, and it got my mind rolling. The Lone Star, or as I call it, Grandpa's boat, is 14 feet long, not very wide, has three bench seats, and is all aluminum. It used to be mainly white, light green on the underside, from the waterline on down. To finish all this fanciness off, there was a shooting star on either side of the hull, which I could only assume to be the Lone Star. The boat spent much of its early life flipped upside down on the shoreline at my grandparents' cabin, until I came along. As I matured, I was allowed at first to row the Lone Star around out on the lake, no further away than shouting distance from the end of the cobbled, creaky wooden dock. The oars were long and skinny, much like I was at the time, and I learned how to row steady and evenly, how the oars must be pulled in unison in order to draw a straight line on the water. I remember finding it frustrating that I had to continually look over my shoulder to have any sort of direction. When I was 11, or maybe it was 12, I can't remember exactly, putting something mechanical on the transom of the boat I had been physically rowing opened up a whole new world. I had passed some kind of threshold or litmus test, and my family was now comfortable attaching the three-horse Johnson outboard to the back of the Lone Star. I had become a captain. The outboard hung on a 2x4 way in the back of the shed. I had known it was there, but I had only stopped to study it a few times. The outboard was also green, but a little darker than the Lone Star, had white trim, and the lower unit portion of the motor was also painted white. It almost looked like the boat and motor color were painted to match, but it didn't quite work out. I had passed the test and had graduated to bigger and better. I was on the move. Instantly, my circle of influence grew. There was a bit of a learning curve, of course, like mixing gas, not running out of gas, planning ahead, and what to do when the prop was loaded up with weeds. Having access to the Lone Star, and now a motor, the combination of the two, gave me room to grow, room to think. I could be my own boss, me alone and the spinning prop. It pushed me further into adolescence and closer to becoming a man. As more time passed, you could say, Grandpa's boat and I made some history together. I would even go as far to say that we had become friends. With all of that history, I found myself staring down once again, having years passed, at the overturned Lone Star, flipped over on the shoreline of my grandparents' cabin. The cabin had been sold, and we needed to liquidate and part out years of our acquired history. The Lone Star had to go too. Decisions had to be made. I was older now, more responsibilities and less time. Dad didn't want the boat, Uncle Ron didn't want the boat, my brother didn't want the boat, so it left me standing there trying to decide. Was I going to turn my back on an old friend, or take him with me? Being a dedicated friend, I decided I had better continue the friendship, and I kept the boat. Zoom forward 20 years or so, and the Lone Star has followed closely behind. Via a wobbly roof rack, Grandpa's boat found its way, all the way, to the Gunflint Trail, having started its life in Grand Prairie, Texas, in 1956. Until last spring, the Lone Star, Grandpa's boat, was simply enjoying its retirement, leaning up against a tree alongside a lake in northern Minnesota. That day, my kids, having just come inside from running around in the woods, said something to the effect of, Dad, whose boat is that back in the woods? So I explained to them that it was Grandpa's boat, or Great-Grandpa's boat in their case, where it came from, and how it had played a part in my boyhood. As soon as the story had absorbed into two growing brains, and a count of 5 apple had passed, I was asked whether it could be used in the summer, whether it could become my son's boat. Well, I wasn't much for using a different name when referring to an old friend, but I said we'd see. So last summer, I was persuaded to pull the Lone Star out of retirement. The three of us struggled to get it down to the lake, shall we say, out of an easy chair. Eased it off the dock, and it slid into the water. All three of us stood back, looking at our piece of floating history. It isn't pretty anymore. It's gotten old, and it's not looking the best. But to another generation of young boy and girl, Great-Grandpa's boat, once again, was being looked at as an opportunity. Lengthening the distance from home, a kid could travel, untethered from the over-the-shoulder monitoring of a parent. So last summer, Grandpa's boat, or Great-Grandpa's boat, logged some more time on the water. Coming out of retirement served the kids well. Not only were there trips to the frog pond, but there were rides given to visiting cousins, combination sister-brother-dog outings, and just time spent alone enjoying the freedom to go wherever, whenever. Learning once again how to bail water, mix gas, not to run out of gas, and why it's important to have oars in the boat, and that you will always, always forget something. In the mind of a young child, and for a father, making a mental map of a lake full of rocks is also an accomplishment to be proud of. Now that winter preparations on the lake have long since passed, the Lone Star, Grandpa's boat, or Great-Grandpa's boat, has once again been pulled to the shore and flipped upside down to rest, snow slowly piling up atop. It will live again next summer to help educate, entertain, and grow the minds of a couple of kids. If my grandfather, my children's great-grandfather, were alive, sitting in his webbed lawn chair at the side of the lake, cigarette hanging from the corner of his mouth, his smile would surely be visible from under the wide brim of his summer hat as he watched the Lone Star glide across the water in search of a new experience for another generation of youthful discovery ahead. Rest easy, Lone Star. You've earned your keep. This is Steve Ramberg with the Gunflint Notebook for WTIP.
The sea wants to kiss the golden shore. The sunlight warms your skin. All the beauty that's been lost before wants to find us again. I can't fight you anymore. It's you I'm fighting for. The sea throws rocks together, but time leaves us polished stones. We can't fall any further if we can't feel ordinary lovers.